Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. Today you'll be hearing our Sunday morning Easter with the Rock service. Enjoy!
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing out there? You good? Can I hear from you? I know many of you are at home. You're watching from your living room, your bedroom, your back patio. But as you could hear, I've got a group of some friends that are just with me. And we want to welcome you to Easter with the Rock. Now, normally we say Easter at the Rock because you're here. But this year we're saying Easter with the Rock because you're joining in from home or wherever you might be. And let me just say thank you. I am so thrilled that you are joining with us today and that we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, hey, do me a favor, those of you who are with me here in Conway, give it up for everybody online, everybody at J. Reuben, wherever you're at. We simply want you to know that you matter and that you're not in this alone and that we are here with you. So, hey, do let me say this. If you are new, man, we would love to connect with you. I would just ask you, if you're new with us, you can either do it right now or later on in the service. We would love it if you would just text us and let us know. And there's a number. It's 843-444-2144. You'll see it on the screen a couple times today. But if you're new, just connect or text the word connect, and that'll really allow us to reach out to you because we want to come alongside of you in the midst of this crazy time, all right? And it's Easter, so you're with us on this Sunday morning, but I want to invite you to two more things. One, I want to invite you to tune back in tonight at 6 p.m. We're doing a special service from our coastal campus, and you're not going to want to miss it. We've got some great worship. We're going to have some talk back between myself and two of our other guys on staff, and definitely want to invite you to jump in on whatever platform, Facebook, YouTube, the Rock app, our website. Join us on Sunday at 6 o'clock, and then that video you just saw, that's kind of letting us know about a theme that we're going to launch next week called Grace. And really invite you to come back for that because we're really going to talk about what does it mean to receive God's grace, but also to give God's grace. So I definitely want you back that week, all right? Now, let's just talk for just a second about Easter, okay? Because let's just admit this, that it's just a little different, right? Like probably none of us have ever experienced Easter like this, Easter in our homes, that throughout the America, honestly, throughout the world, people are taking on Easter in their homes rather than going to churches. And that just seems weird. And it's made me really wrestle with what will Easter look like this year? Like, I don't know about you, but for my family, we always take Easter photos. Like, we always do. Every Easter, we have family photo time, and we're all in our best dress. We're in our Easter outfits. Like, what are those photos going to look like this year? Like, in your PJs, your hair undone, haven't had your eyebrows done in a while. You know what I'm saying? I probably shouldn't have went there. My bad. But that's just who you get when you get Josh, okay? But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Easter photos, I just think they're going to be a little weird this year. Or if you think about Easter egg hunts. Like, normally an Easter egg hunt, like, every kid, they're, like, going mad. They're like, I got to get to that egg before somebody else does. But I really kind of think our Easter egg hunts this year would be, like, in your front yard. It's just, like, you and your brother. It's, like, what's the competition? It's, like, no, how about you get half, I get half. All good, we'll share the candy, right? Like the Easter egg hunts, they're going to be different. Or Easter dinner. I mean, think about that for a second. You're used to having maybe the whole family over for Easter dinner, and maybe this year it's just going to be you or you and a couple others. It's like TV dinner. Let's just sit back and relax, right? Like, it's weird. It's okay to admit it. Like, it's weird. We're in a weird season. But I honestly think this Easter might be the closest we can resemble to the first Easter ever in our lifetime. Like I want you to think about this right now, that we're either going to work or we're staying home. That's pretty much the two things that we're doing. We're kind of holed up at home. We're constantly checking the news. We're worried about the pandemic. We're thinking about viruses. We're thinking about health. We're thinking about life and death. We're scared. We're walking through this unknown. We're constantly asking, how much worse is it going to get? Or, how much longer is it going to be before we can get back like at the church building? We're always asking these questions. There's so much unknown and maybe even a little bit of fear that you're feeling, all right? It's natural. I want you to know that it's natural. But that's not really any different than the first Easter. Like we're dealing with fear. We're dealing with death. You know, like this virus we know has taken some lives of people. And if you think back to the first Easter, though, they were holed up in their house. They were scared, they were afraid of death, and they were facing the unknown because for the last 3 years, the disciples, the ones who had given their life to Christ, the ones who said, Jesus, I'm all in, they'd been walking with him, they had this idea of this is what it's going to look like, and then all of a sudden he dies and he's done, he's gone, and now they're in this upper room, they're like sitting in a living room set, and they're going, what are we going to do? We don't know what the future holds. We gave up our jobs. We gave up our boats. Like, what are we going to do now? There was this great unknown in front of them that they were wrestling with, much like what I feel like we are wrestling with right now, much like what I feel like that we're struggling with, that we're going, what does the future hold? And guys, I'm not going to try to sell you something right now. I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you, well, I can predict the future for you, or I can tell you what we can know about this virus or anything else, because I can't, all right? But I can make known this morning maybe some things that are unknown to you. I can't make known everything. I can't make known all of the unknowns, but I can make known some of the unknowns. And what I can make known to you today is who Jesus is, what Jesus did, how to find peace, how to find purpose, how to find power to make it through. That whether you have faith or maybe you're joining us today and you have no faith walk at all, what I want to do to you is I want to make known that which might be unknown. Because I know we're in the midst of a lot of unknowns right now. Much like the disciples were back 2,000 years ago. And I want us to talk about these disciples. And I want us to do it by looking at the book of Luke. Now, Luke, I say this often at our church, that Luke is a biography, all right? One of my favorite books, because what Luke did is he wanted to make an orderly account of the life of Jesus. That he basically said, I want to research it, I want to put all the facts together, and I want to be able to present it so that people can have an orderly account, an accurate account of Jesus' life. So that's what Luke did, and he wrote this biography about Jesus. And today I want us to look at Luke chapter 24. Now, I'm not going to read the text. I encourage you can go on the Rock app and you can pull up the Bible right there. Maybe you have a paper Bible. Maybe you got one sitting on your coffee table. It's all, got all kinds of dust on it, okay? Do whatever you need to. You can follow along that way, or you can just listen as I tell you the story. Because in Luke chapter 24, we see a story that Luke recorded about Jesus that records Jesus' words, like what he had to say and what some others had to say. And the story kind of goes like this. It says that there was two disciples, and they were walking along the road. They were on their way to the village of Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And as they were walking on the road, they were talking about all of the things that had happened inside of the city. Well, as they were walking, all of a sudden, Jesus came along, and he started walking next to them. Now, they didn't recognize it was Jesus. They just thought it was another guy, and all of a sudden, Jesus says, what is it that you guys are talking about as you walk? And as he says that, one of the guys, his name is Cleopas, we'll just call him Cleo, that Cleo said, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem that doesn't know what happened?" And Jesus said, "Well, no, what happened?" So they went on to tell Jesus this story. That they said that, well, there's this guy, his name is Jesus Christ, and he was a mighty prophet. And he had done many marvelous works and had many marvelous words that he had done before God and before men. But our chief priests and our rulers, they betrayed him. They arrested him and sentenced him to death. Death on a cross. And he died on a cross 3 days ago. And we had put our hope in him. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the one that would redeem us and all of Israel. But now it's been 3 days since he died. And moreover, we actually had some women that were traveling with us that were part of our group. And they went to the tomb this morning. And when they got there, Jesus wasn't there. But instead, they saw an angel. And the angel said, "Well, he's alive." So they came back and told the other guys in our group. And we didn't believe them. So the guys ran to the tomb. And they found it just as they had said. And now we're in the unknown. And see, what I want you to see about their story is I want you to see the unknown. See, part of the unknown is, one, is who are these people who are walking along the road? Like I said, one's name, Cleo, we'll call him that, but the other person, we don't have a name. We don't know if it was another guy. We don't know if it was Cleo's wife. We just don't know. We just know it's just two people walking along the road. But they were disciples. They were part of the group that had been worshiping and following Jesus. We know that much. They didn't know who Jesus was in the moment. Again, Jesus had started walking beside him, but as Jesus was walking beside him, he didn't reveal who he actually was. So he was kind of unknown to them. And he was saying, "Well, what's this unknown story?" And I love to visualize Scripture because I'm guessing as they were walking this 7-mile journey that they didn't just say, "Well, he was a mighty prophet and he did a bunch of good works and had a bunch of good words and then he died." Like, I can kind of imagine them saying, "Well, you don't know the story? Well, let me tell you the story." I mean, it starts by the fact that his mom was a virgin, and she actually gave birth, and which means that his dad was God. And reality is, when he got baptized, he was actually getting baptized by John the Baptist. And I can imagine him looking at Jesus going, "You do know who John the Baptist is, right?" You know, like I picture this dialogue going on. And when Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist, there's actually a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son. In him I am well pleased." And there was actually like an image of a dove, like the Holy Spirit like descending upon him. It was like a crazy scene. But then he kind of left there and he went out in the desert. And it's been told that he went toe-to-toe with Satan and battled Satan for about 40 days and went toe-to-toe with him. And then from there he left the desert and he started his ministry. And man, when he was doing ministry, I can just picture him, you know, just telling the story, saying, like, "There was one day that there was a big wedding, and the wedding ran out of wine, and Jesus said, 'No problem,' and he just turned his whole, like some barrels of water into wine. And then there was a day where they were trying to eat, but nobody really had any food. There was one little boy who had a couple loaves of bread. He had like 5 little loaves of bread, and Jesus was like, 'Well, that's enough.' So he took the bread and a couple little pieces of fish, and he multiplied it, and over 15,000 people ate in that one day." Like, man, this guy named Jesus, he was doing all these miracles. That there was a guy whose legs didn't work, and he made his legs work. There was a guy whose eyes didn't work, and he made his eyes work. That one day he told the storm to calm down, and the storm just stilled on the water. There was another day he was walking on water, and one of the disciples, his name's Peter, which means the rock, which is kind of crazy, but the rock started walking on the water, and he started to sink because he gave up faith, which makes sense because a rock should sink, right? Like I can imagine them trying to tell this story. And then they're like, and even one day, there was a guy named Lazarus. He'd been dead for 4 days in the tomb. Yet Jesus showed up and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Like, can you picture it with me? Can you picture them telling the story of who Jesus is? Can you picture them saying, these are the works, the mighty works he did before God and people? And I can picture the other one saying, but he also had great words. Like he taught with authority like we've never heard before. Like he commanded evil spirits to come out of people and they came out. That he told people that blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are the poor, for they are favored by God. Like he looked at us, those who are unwanted, those who are unloved, those who are outcasts, and he invited them to the table. His words were just something that just drew us in. And he even claimed to be God. Like he literally said he's the Messiah, that he is God, that he and the Father are one. And man, we believed him. But then he died. I can just see him as they're walking on the road. I can just see him during this going, but then he died. He's been dead for 3 days. And then we went to the tomb, but we didn't see him. So we don't really know what to believe now. Could you see their faith almost being crushed in that moment? They're going, man, there's just so much unknown. Like, I wonder if they started thinking about some of the things that we think about today. Like, I wonder if the guys who were back at the house that were sitting in the living room, that when the girls went to the tomb and they came back and said, hey, we just went to the tomb, like Jesus wasn't there. Like, I wonder if the guys went, like, y'all have no sense of direction, okay? Y'all probably went to the wrong tomb, so I wonder if the guys got, hey, we got this, and they went. And then the guys get there, and they go to the tomb, and nothing's in the tomb. Let's just admit it. No guy would ever admit that he's lost, right? Because maybe even the guys went to the wrong tomb. Like, that's what you could wonder. But let's put that argument to the side for a second, because there's no way the chief priest or the rulers of the time, they would have allowed a story to go out if they knew the disciples went to the wrong tomb. Like the chief priests, the rulers of the time, they would have simply went, whoa, you all went to the wrong tomb, and they would have went to the right tomb and said, see, this is where Jesus lies. Like, I just wonder, again, this is just me speculating. I wonder if there was an unknown in them going, okay, like, I don't think we went to the wrong tomb. Wonder if somebody stole the body. See, that's a modern argument people still use today that, well, maybe just the body was stolen. But I want you to think about this, that from the chief priest, the ruler side, even the Romans, they put a guard at the tomb. So there's no way that the disciples who were running in fear of their life and were hiding in a room, they were hiding in a house, there's no way they could have went to the tomb and stole the body. So then the only person that could have stole the body would have been the chief priest or the rulers, and that'd be the last thing they would want to do. There's no way they would steal the body. See, people might have said, well, maybe they'd steal the body because they wanted to torture Jesus more. Or maybe they would steal the body because they didn't want him to be able to have a true burial. But no chief priest, no rulers of the time would have ever done that, because all they would have done is built in or enhanced the argument that Jesus rose from the dead. So that couldn't be the case. And again, I'm just speculating right now. Just understand, just speculate with me. That I wonder if these guys walking on the road, if they're now saying to Jesus, like, well, like, we don't think we went to the wrong tomb. We don't think his body was stolen. And we don't think that he was just partially dead. Like there's no way he could have just, like, maybe passed out. Because the Romans, like, they were really good at executing people. See, there's people that still today, that they would say that, well, that Jesus truly didn't die. He just passed out for a while. And the reason that he wasn't in the tomb is because then he came to and he was able to leave the tomb on his own. But again, the Romans, they were really good at executing people. They wouldn't have made a mistake here. And the fact that they shoved a spear into his side when he was on the cross, up into his heart, and the water and the blood flowed, gives proof of death. So again, I can just picture these two people on the road with Jesus. And again, they don't know it's Jesus, but I can just picture them going, so we're living out the unknown. We just don't really understand, because we thought he was God. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to be the one that would redeem us. But we're just not for sure. And what I love about the next part of the story is Jesus basically says, oh, time out. The unknown can be known. It's basically like Jesus says, let me make known what is unknown to you. Because what is known is everything you've said was talked about in the Old Testament. Now Jesus is the one who becomes the teacher. All right, again, now they still don't know that it's Jesus, but now Jesus is the one who looks at him, and he basically says that, whoa, time out. You've told me all these things that you believed about this Jesus of Nazareth guy, that all these things you said that you felt like he was the Messiah because of the great works that he did, because of the great words that he shared. But because he suffered and died, now you're like, well, maybe he wasn't the Messiah. And Jesus starts back all the way at the beginning of Scripture, and he says, well, do you not remember what Genesis says? Do you not remember what Genesis 3 kind of talks about? Like where it says that Satan will bruise the heel, but we will crush his head? He's like I can imagine Jesus saying, do you not remember what Psalm 22 says about the way that the Messiah will feel like he's being forsaken by God? Do you not remember Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 that talks about the servant must suffer, that he will take on our iniquities, that he will be beaten to a point that it's difficult to even look at him, that he'll take the sins of us all and it'll put on his shoulder? Do you not remember Isaiah 52 and 53? Or I wonder if he looked at him and said, do you remember Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 13? And don't you remember those scriptures as well? So Jesus walks him all the way through the Old Testament. And he says, everything you've said about this Jesus of Nazareth, this Jesus the Christ, it all makes sense because of what he did while he was with you, but also because of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And now all of a sudden, they've been on this long journey and they arrive at Emmaus. And when they get to Emmaus, they're like, hey, will you come in? Will you share a meal with us? And Jesus is like, no, I got to keep going. And they're like, no, we got to sit down. We got to talk with you. We got to keep this conversation going. So Jesus goes into their house and he sits down. And as they're sitting there, all of a sudden the food gets put in front of them. And it's like Jesus, all of a sudden, he grabs the bread and he gives thanks to the Lord. And then he breaks it. And when he says, Father, I thank you for this, and he breaks it, immediately the eyes of these two people, they're like opened. And they're like, whoa, time out. That's Jesus. That's Jesus in front of us. I picture Jesus kind of looking at him going, you know what I mean? Like just giving him a big wink, like, gotcha, and poof, he's gone. Like that quick, he's gone. And all of a sudden these guys, they look at each other, they're like, how did we miss it? He was right there. Wasn't our hearts burning as he was talking to us? Like, well, we got to go back and we got to tell the disciples. So they get up from the table. I don't know if they ate. I don't know if they took the grapes and they took off running. I don't know. What I do know is they took off running back to Jerusalem. A 7-mile hike again. And now, the first time, I'm sure it was a nice, lazy walk, walking with Jesus, hearing the stories. But now, I bet, man, they were boogieing it. And they get to the house, and they sit down. They're like, guys, you don't get it. Man, we saw Jesus. We walked with Jesus. He explained everything to us. And while he was explaining it, our hearts were burning. We don't know how we missed it, that it was him, because we just so desperately were like, we know this voice. We know these words. And they're like, I'm telling you, Jesus is alive. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the room. He didn't open the door. He didn't walk through the door. He just showed up. And when he showed up in the room, you can imagine all these disciples hanging out in this upper room. And you know what he says? Peace. Peace be with you. You know, immediately people be freaking out, right? Because immediately they're like, whoa, it's a ghost. And Jesus like, I'm not a ghost. Jesus shows up in the moment and he says, the unknown can become known. Because I'm making it known that I am who I said that I am. I did what I said I would do. I told you I would rise from the dead after the third day. And it's the third day. And here I am. I'm in front of you. I am making known to you what is unknown in your mind. And it's such a great promise. What is it that he's really making known? Well, let me walk through the last part of chapter 24. The first thing that he makes known is peace. He says peace can be known because, again, he looked at him and the very first words he said was, "Peace be with you." Again, remember, these guys, they're hiding in an upper room. They're in the midst of an unknown. They don't know what's going on in life. And Jesus shows up in the moment. And he says, "Peace be with you." He says, "I know you're anxious. I know you're concerned. I know you're worried. You don't know what the future holds. Peace be with you." Now think about that for a second. Isn't that something that we all need right now? Just a little bit of peace? In the midst of the unknown, aren't we all looking for some peace in the moment? Peace that only comes from God. He is the one who can give you peace. And one of the ways that he gives you peace is through his presence. His presence gives peace, and his presence can be known. Again, going back to the story, I want you to think about it. Jesus shows up. He says, "Peace be with you." And they freak out. They're like, "Man, you're a ghost." He's like, "I'm not a ghost. I am here in the flesh." And he looks at him and says, look at my hands. Look at my feet. If you've heard the story before through another biography in the Bible, it talks about how he looked at Thomas and he said, "Thomas, put your fingers in my hands. Put them in my feet." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He's saying, "My presence is here. I can be known. I'm not far off. I'm not dead in the ground. This is not just a spirit thing in front of you. I am here. My presence is here. Look at my hands. Look at my feet." And that wasn't enough. They were like, "Well, we still think you're a ghost." So you know what he does? He says, "Give me something to eat." I love that. That he's like, let me just prove it to you. Like, "You got anything to eat around here?" And they're like, "Well, we got some fish." He's like, "Give me some fish." And he eats it in front of them. He's like, "Do you see? I'm with you." And I think that's something for all of us to grab a hold of right now in the midst of our life, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of financial crisis, in the midst of it all, is for us to realize, wait, he's here. And because he's here, he can give me peace. He can give me peace because of his presence. And then he follows up that by he says, "And I'll also give you purpose." That he says that purpose can be known. Again, going right back into the story, he then outlines for him. He's like, "Guys, don't you remember everything I told you while I was with you? I said that I was going to have to suffer." He's basically saying, "Guys, listen, I came here to win your salvation. I came to earth to defeat death. I came to earth to kick Satan in the teeth. I came to earth to give you victory. And the victory was not me coming to earth and sitting on the throne. The victory was me going to the grave and defeating death there by rising from the dead. And because I can rise from the dead, because I rose from the dead, that was my purpose. That was my purpose." And in the same way, we have purpose. We have a purpose right now. And I know in the midst of this time and this crisis, I know sometimes we feel like, "Man, do I have purpose anymore?" Well, just as Jesus had purpose in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of turmoil, we still have purpose today as well. You have a purpose. And you also have the power to accomplish the purpose that he's given you. You see that Jesus looked at the disciples, he said, "Hey, listen, your purpose is to be my witness. But I don't want you to think you have to do it on your own." He says, "Wait, and I'm gonna give you power when I clothe you from on high. Because when I leave in the flesh, now I'm gonna have to send my spirit. And when my spirit comes, my spirit is gonna give you power. My spirit will give you the power that you need." So what Jesus said to those disciples 2,000 years ago still applies to us today. That because of the resurrection of the Lord, we can have peace, we can have his presence, we can have purpose, and we can have power. Meaning peace can be known, his presence can be known, his purpose can be known, and his power can be known and can live inside of us. Because he can be known. because He can be known. Peace can be known. His presence can be known. Purpose can be known. Power can be known because Jesus can be known. And as we move into a time of response right now, I want you to really think about that. I want you to really think about this idea of knowing Jesus. Because if you'll come to know who Jesus is, then you can come to understand, you can come to know power. You can come to know purpose. You can come to know His presence. You can come to know peace. And I want that for you right now. I'm actually going to challenge you to do something during this response time. Maybe this will be different for you, but I really want to challenge you to do this because I know we're doing this in our homes or maybe at a friend's house, but here's what I want you to do, that I want you to really spend some time, and I want you to ask yourself this question. What is it that I really need to know today? Maybe it's simply you just need to know Jesus, because maybe you don't know Him. And I want you to come to know Him today. But then I want you to think about those four things that I mentioned earlier. And I want you to think about which of these that you really need to know right now. And I want you to discuss that with the people who are around you. I'm going to invite you to do that. So if you're at home and you've got a couple people you're doing Easter with right now, that I'm going to give you just a second. When I get done in just a second, I want you to discuss this. And I want you to discuss which of these four do you really need to know right now. Because maybe what you need to know is you need to know that the power that is available to you through Christ. Maybe you know you're dealing with just something difficult right now. And maybe you're just like, Jesus, I just need to know that I have the power to make it through. That through Your power in me, this is possible. Maybe for you, you're just like, man, I just need to know what my purpose is right now. That my senior year ended. College isn't what I thought it was going to be. Maybe my job's not where I thought it was going to be. And you're going, what is my purpose? And maybe what I want you to do is just to really think about, what is the purpose that you need to know right now? Or maybe for you, it's, man, you just really need to know His presence. I just need to know that He's with me and that He's walking this out with me. Or maybe for you, it's peace. Maybe you just need to know the peace that passes understanding. Maybe you just need to know the peace that comes with knowing Jesus. Maybe you just need to be reminded of that to get rid of your anxious thoughts and your worry in this season and just say, no, Jesus, I just need to know peace. Or maybe for you, because maybe you haven't responded to Christ's gift of salvation, then maybe what you need is peace with God right now. That you just need that kind of peace because you've never made peace with God. And I'm going to challenge you to do something. When we start talking as groups, then I'm going to challenge you to just to look at the people in the room with. And if you've never made peace with God, I'm going to challenge you just to tell the people in the room that. Just say, I need peace with God. That I need to surrender my life to Him. That I want to respond to Him as my Savior. And it's this simple. You simply say, Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. I want to surrender because I want to be right with You. You can say that prayer. You can confess that with the people you're in front of, that you're around, and you can have peace with God right now. So I'm going to ask you, if you're with some people, to discuss this. Maybe you're by yourself, and I want you to write it down in your notes, maybe in a journal, in your phone, somehow. Maybe you need to text somebody. But let's figure out which one of these I really need this morning and know that it comes by knowing Christ. Guys, let me pray for you right now. And then we'll move into this time of response. The band will just play a little bit underneath us. Eventually, they might start singing. You want to sing, you're welcome to sing along. But if you're having discussion with your family or your friends, you just keep on discussing. Let's pray together. Jesus, I come before You right now. And I ask right now that You would help us to make the decisions we need to make in this moment. Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross. I thank you for rising from the dead. And Jesus, I pray right now in this moment that we will come to know you. And because of knowing you, we will know the things that come along with that. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like more information on how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.